Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for being here. Our project is about environmental health, specifically about the implications of industrial development for population health. And my colleague, Dr. Nigel Field, who's not here today, and I, Claudia Chauffan, are from California, and our local partners are from the Applied Research Institute in Bethlehem. Before I present our project, let me see. I've got to figure out the technology. That's what I'm going to do before. Okay. Let me state our ethical framework, which is environmental justice or environmental equity. And we define it as environmental justice, that is, as development, implementation, and enforcement of environmental policies and laws that ensure that no group or community is made to bear a disproportionate share of the harmful effects of environmental hazards, because it lacks the economic or political power to demand respect for their rights. So whenever any group or community bears a disproportionate share of the harmful effects of environmental hazards, we believe there is room, indeed, a duty for the public health community to raise its voice and step in. Having said that, let me give you a background of our study. Environmental degradation, that is, depletion of natural resources such as water, air, soil, sickens or kills millions around the world, especially ethnic minorities and the poor. For instance, contamination of water supplies and concomitant inadequate access to drinking water, sanitation and hygiene cause an estimated 1.7 million deaths annually. Environmental-related illnesses are estimated to account for one-third of 25,000 child deaths that occur every year, while millions of children are born prematurely or with birth defects due to maternal exposure to pesticides, solvents, and plastic components. However, there's great inaction in those sectors of society that have the power to change the state of affairs, political elites and policymakers. Industrial parks are an important source of environmental degradation, especially when regulations to force manufacturers to reduce the impact of their waste are lacking. This is especially true in the West Bank in Palestine. The West Bank hosts a range of highly polluting industries, including manufacturing of aluminum, batteries, leather tanning, textile dyeing, fiberglass, and other chemical industries. We chose Palestine because of its unique location at the crossroads of three continents. This location makes it an environmental melting pot for the flora and fauna of Africa, Asia, and Europe. Also, Palestine has been subject to conflict over land for close to a century, a conflict that has had major and unique impacts on its ecosystem. There are at least 13 industrial parks in the West Bank that harbor 200 industries affecting at least 8 governorates. Governorates is the political division of the West Bank, or districts. And they pose important threats to the ecosystem and the public's health. Information about the activity of these industries is scarce. Some products from these industries have been identified, yet detailed information on quantities produced and waste generated is not available. Generally, the composition of waste cannot be determined without laboratory analysis, and if you don't have access to the sources of waste, you can only estimate their composition. For instance, we know that aluminum industry produces aluminum and acid waste, electroplating produces nickel, chrome, and acid waste. All of them are inorganic substances or waste considered hazardous to health. And hazardous, by definition, is waste that pose substantial hazards to not just the health of humans, but also of plants and animals. It can have the form of sludge, liquid, gas, or solid. Israel, that has control of the West Bank, has tended to move many industries from Israel proper, what is usually known as the pre-1967 borders, into the West Bank. For instance, a pesticide factory in Kfar Saba has been moved to an area near Tulkarm, and a gas industrial factory that used to be located in Netanya has moved to the same area. The Barkan Industrial Park is adjacent to the settlement of the same name and was founded in 1982. And it's about 25 miles away from Tel Aviv and very, very close, in the Salfit Governorate. It is one of the largest industrial parks in Palestine and includes about 120 businesses and factories manufacturing plastic, metal, wood, food, textile. There's about 6,000 workers employed, 40% of which are Palestinians. Israeli workers are mostly employed in managerial and administrative jobs. The State of Israel encourages national and foreign investment in this and other parks through incentives, particularly tax incentives. The lower property tax is up to 50% lower than within Israel proper. Additionally, access to Palestinian labor is highly sought after by industrialists because it is substantially cheaper than Israeli labor. The High Supreme Court of Israel has ruled that Israeli labor laws should be applied to Palestinian workers, but actual conditions of labor are dire. A survey conducted over 26 factories in the Barkan area revealed that only about a quarter of factories observed minimum wage, provided pay slips, and paid on time. Hence our planned study. And when I say plan, I'm referring to the fact that funding this type of study has been very hard, at least for us in our experience. So I'm in the third round of reviews right now, and we're planning to start only half of the study, namely the population health part, because of the cost being substantially lower than the environmental assessment part, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. So we have two specific aims because of this approach of ecosystem health, assessing the population health impact and the environmental impact. So the first is to assess the park's impact on the human component of the ecosystem, which includes, we plan to do a mental and physical health assessment of our target groups, which are the residents in one of the six villages affected by the park, the village of Lukin, through a number of measures, including but not limited to blood lead levels, self-reported health, and depression, and probably most likely birth defects. And the second is to assess the park's impact on the non-human component of the ecosystem. This will include examining bacteria and water supplies, physical properties and chemical composition in the wastewater stream, water supplies, salt, soil, and the milk of grazing cattle. We also want to do DNA breaks in onion root tips to assess the genotoxicity of the wastewater, and that's because onion root tips are very sensitive to chemicals that produce damage in the chromosomes. We have, however, some preliminary data in a study conducted by our local partners that revealed a range of very bad environmental practices in this particular industrial park. For instance, no recovery systems to recover and recycle oily wastes, none of the facilities recycled the used wastewater, and wastewater effluents were discharged and treated next to the agriculture and grazing area in close proximity to the Palestinian village communities. And this is a highly agricultural population, as we may bear in mind that, because the effects on the possibility of developing sustainable and agriculture is very important to the survival of this population. The same study also revealed potential negative effects of the park's industrial practices on human health. For instance, the villagers interviewed reported high occurrence of disease among village residents, such as skin disease, breathing problems, cancer, particularly among children. I was very pleased to see very recently a review article in the Journal of the American Public Health Association documenting this kind of population health issues throughout the world, and calling for an environmental justice approach to public health as well. It was probably the first to last issue. None of the interviewed workers, this is another finding, had received orientation or been trained to protect themselves from the risks associated with their work. So our conclusion is simple and predictable. A comprehensive study linking environmental and population health in this area is overdue. And whatever the findings may be, we believe that the solution will not be technical, although documenting these issues from a technical perspective is very important, it's critical, but the solution is political. It will involve the political will of key actors and must be grounded on principles of environmental justice, which is our ethical position, as I pointed out and defined at the beginning. Thank you very much.